This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From the WEEI studios, the destination for Boston sports fans. Boston sports fans. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app. This is the KJ Show with KJ Carson on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
The pitch is drilled high into left field. That's going to get off the track and then bounce off the Mason sign. And Bregman at the last minute holds up at first base. That is the right call there. He thought about it, but it caromed hard off the wall. It's good to run hard and make it possible to get to second, and he hurt himself. Oh, no. A nightmare for the Red Sox. Caught in between, Bregman throws his helmet away, and it looks like he might have tweaked or pulled something going around first base. He just couldn't decide whether to go for second or hold up, and that indecision sees one of the Red Sox's most indispensable players head for the clubhouse.
Oh, yes! It's the greatest show once a week heard in America, the KJ Show. How you doing? 617-779-7937. Thank you for starting your Sunday here on WEEI. That is Will Fleming on the call that has triggered a chain of events for the Red Sox that are damn near disastrous in a season that's still hopeful that doesn't necessarily feel hopeful. Alex Bregman's quad injury is on the 10-day. This isn't the same quad that he hurt back in 2021 that had him out 58 games. That sounds like a Trevor Story number, right? Trevor Story, 58 games. So Bregman at least going to stay on the 10-day. That is for sure. If he gets put on the 30-day, then we know that this is something that's going to have him out for about 35 to 40 games. And now you're like, okay, this is the new glue. This is the connection between the old and the new for this team. This is what has saved the team in the early start. In 15, 20 minutes here, we will get to episode 2 of 27 Games at a Time, the copyrighted and trademarked episodes of the KJ Show. Although, okay, I stole the theme music from One Day at a Time. But we have now completed episode 2 of the Red Sox season, and we will recap. But the drama continues to build because as soon as Bregman went down, I tweeted, damn, did Raffy bring a glove? What will be the excuse now? We'll bring up Marcelo Meyer from AAA to play third. I need Devers' agent. But back to Bregman. See, if you remember the way that Bregman signed his deal to come here, it can renew after each year. So instead of having a 3-year deal, he has the option. Well, at first you're like, okay, great. Better play at third. He's player of the month from MLB in April. Gets to a hot start. If it really wasn't for him, he kind of carries Devers' early load. Abreu cooled off. Bregman was still there. You need Bregman. Well, now, with the other quad injured, see, I think it's don't get me wrong, you only have two quads. You technically have four because they're four. Left leg was hurt in 2021. Right leg hurt now. So now in the span of a 4-year period, you may have two major quad leg injuries, and you're going to potentially give the guy $40 million a year. Now, at one point, you were thinking, like, man, if Bregman just has this absolute breakout year and it's absolute madness here, Bregman probably disappears and runs to the Yankees. They give him all the money in the world. Now, with this injury, it's almost kind of like, what kind of Bregman do you get coming back? And if you can't really get the defense or the mobility with the quad injury again, where does that leave Devers all of a sudden, who is the hottest man in the universe right now? Think about this. He's had over 30 RBIs this month. And last month, the dude was, what, 0 for 15 at one point? Was he 0 for 20 with 15 strikeouts last month?
He was 0 for 19.
0 for 19! And now is the hottest man in the world, has told management, no, I'm not going to first. And now management can't ask him to do jack-ish. To the point where they call up Marcelo Meyer to not play his position. Because the guy at short, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's another swing and a miss for Trevor Story. So now there's this quagmire with the Red Sox. And again, in 15 minutes in 27 games at a time, this is a tease. You'll see that as bad as it may seem, it isn't as bad as it really is. It's the nuttiest thing. But this is why you kind of ingest the season 27 games at a time. But what do you do? Here's my concern about Meyer at third. What if he struggles? Or let's just say you start to see signs of struggle, because now the real question is, does he stay? And my answer is 50-50, no. I mean, that's real committed, KJ. 617-779-7937. It's also the text line. We'll get to those shortly. Okay, so I got to be a little more committal. I would say probably 65% chance that he ends up back at Worcester for a time period this year. And the reason being is not because he struck out three times last night. I actually pay more attention to the ground out up the middle, because I'm like, okay, you're fourth at bat. You've kind of figured something up. You're hitting the ball back up the middle. That's okay. But if there's a struggle, but even worse, what if they start asking Raffy to bring his glove to work? Does Raffy say no to taking grounders at third? Do you start making calls potentially about, I mean, I don't know who picks up the phone for Trevor Story. Hello, we'd like to offer you Trevor Story. Hello? 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 There's a quagmire. The pitching? Oh, we're back at the conversation we had last year about some of these starters. Boy, and here's why pitch counts can hurt a team. Let's say a pitcher eats up 85 pitches in his first four innings. Are we now going to say, hey, let's get him out of there because he's thrown 85 pitches, despite it's only been four innings and the bullpen is doing everything? I went from like, oh, man, this bullpen can't get it together, to now this bullpen can't breathe. These guys, I mean, hell, you might as well make them the starter and some of these other guys who can't go four innings, all right, go two. Go to. It's the straight. I've seen a lot of baseball. And I can't say never because it's 8 a.m. I can't completely recall. I cannot recall a team that's had so many deficiencies and glaring issues, be 500, still be in the division race, and not that far off from winning 90 games. Like, it's the weirdest thing with this Red Sox team that I can't put my finger on it. Brian Frazoco, my producer, is this Red Sox team not one of the strangest things you've gone through recently?
Fitzy says it every time we have Alex Cora on WEI Afternoons. The one thing that they're good at is being inconsistent. And that's what they've been all year. They've been around 500 this entire season. Every time you think they're going to go on a run, every time they put up a game like they did against St. Louis where they score 18 runs, like they did on Friday where they score 19 runs against Baltimore, you think they finally start to get going, and then they lose a game like they did last night, 2-1, where you're like, okay, it's the same old Red Sox.
Well, I think now with the Bregman injury, I think we're going to really find out if this team is the bee's knees or it bees to the end of Cora's time here. Look, I don't even want to say this out loud, but I just have to say it out loud just because it is somewhat of a thought process, because this team is only 500. There is an element of it. It is super underperforming. And that makes you wonder, is Alex Cora really low-key on the hot seat? Just because the team has spent, right? For a few years, the argument would be this team does not spend and therefore you get what you pay for, and what you have on the field was triple A quality, maybe at best, over a span of a few years. Now you can't say you haven't spent, you wouldn't got above line arms, but the arms that are supposed to develop aren't developing or going as long. You know, Bayo's, he's on the verge of becoming like one of these absolute mysteries, right? Like is this the modern oil can Boyd? You know, look it up if you don't know who that is. Whereas, like, you got all the stuff in the world, but it's like, man, who's going to show up today? The guy who walks 10 or the guy who strikes out 10 in the first six innings? You know, like, it's just fascinating. And the thing with Devers, I think, between Bregman's injury and how this team plays from there, and Devers actively and openly telling the team no to different things. Again, like, there's the belief that Christian Campbell is going to be put over at first because Raffy has said no, and hence the call-up of Mayer. Like, no. This is wild stuff. And just from seeing how management works, if it doesn't get under control, Alex Cora is going to get fired. If this team starts to kind of bloop, 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 and you know Bregman's out for an extended period of time, now you've got a potential direct correlation of like, okay, you call up one of your biggest prospects, and keep in mind, you know, the story with Mayer over the last couple of years was like, this guy's taking a lot of bats at Portland. What's going on? You know, and then of course, you know, you had the super move by Breslow, like September of last year, was it Teal, Mayer, and Roman Anthony all get moved at the same time to Worcester. And so I thought this would have to be the year that Mayer had to get called up, or you're making phone calls about moving him. So, and then the Devers piece. Because this guy has actively said no to his manager and to management.
No.
There has to be this feeling of, we've got to get control back of the team. I know this sounds like another team in town, right? We've got to get control back of the team. Right? Because remember, in the preseason, the conversation, remember the holdup of like, man, Bregman is the longest signing waiting to happen I've ever heard of. And at some of the rumblings was that, look, Cora wanted Bregman and Breslow wasn't super hot on it. Well, looks like Cora got what he wanted if those stories were what those stories were. Well, now Bregman's not available and he's hurt. And you have to wonder what he will be when he comes back. You bring up a prospect, maybe a little too soon. I just feel that way. Maybe just a little too soon. Because you're bringing up a prospect and you're asking him to play a more intensive position than he's played. I know Mayer's played four games in Worcester at third. And now look, great pick yesterday. Totally understand that throw. Thank you very much over there at first for helping me out. Get my wind beneath my wings. Because third is the place, I mean, even in softball league, someone says, who's going to play third? You know, with short, you have your range and everything like that, and you see everything coming to you. At third, get ready. But if that doesn't work out, and Raffy is asked to, like, let the story leak. Listen, I'm just saying this. Let it leak that management is having a conversation with Rafael Devers again, but this time about grabbing his glove at third, and he's balking. There's a loss of control because that has to be the conversation. Is it fair to Mayer to say, okay, you're now going to be pretty much the everyday third baseman until Bregman comes back, if he's able to come back? Because watch this. If Bregman comes back, you might have to DH him a little bit. We're not seeing Yoshida for at least 58 more days, 57 more days. You put someone on the 60 DL, it's pretty much like, yeah. Yeah, if we do have a locker for you. It's such a mess. 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. Next, the Red Sox episode 2 of 27 Games at a Time. But right now it's time to trend with Brian Frazoco.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and on WEEI.com. The Red Sox split their doubleheader yesterday with the Baltimore Orioles, winning Game 1 in extra innings 6-5 thanks to a walk-off single from Rafael Devers. They did end up losing game two by a score of 2-1 last night. It was also Marcelo Meyer's first MLB appearance. He went 0-4. The final game of this four-game set is today with first pitch at 1:35, and we will have that game for you right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks, they'll be on the call, and you got Joe Weil on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 12:35. Walker Buehler.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We'll get the nod for the Sox, his first start since his early ejection on Tuesday night. Dean Kremer will be on the hill for the Orioles. NHL playoffs continue today with Game 3 between the Stars and Oilers with puck drop at 3 o'clock this afternoon. That series is tied at a game apiece. The Eastern Conference Finals Game 3 was last night with Brad Marchand and the Florida Panthers steamrolling the Carolina Hurricanes by a score of 6-1. The Hurricanes are now 0-15 in their last 15 Eastern Conference Finals games. The Panthers now lead that series 3-0. The Timberwolves took Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals last night with a blowout win over the Thunder 143-101 thanks in part to 30 points from Anthony Edwards. The Thunder still lead that series 2-1. Game 3 between the Knicks and Pacers is today from Indiana with tip-off at 8 o'clock. The Pacers are looking to go up 3-0 in that series. And the New England Revolution played to a 3-3 draw yesterday with Sporting KC. They will take the field again on Wednesday when they take on DC United. The Revolution sit at 10th in the Eastern Conference. I'm Brian Frisoco. That's what's trending now on WEEI and on WEEI.com.
This is the KJ Show with KJ Carson on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
KJ Show, WEEI, 617-779-7937. That is also the text line. Talking Red Sox, of course, the final, even the day, like, okay, so you play your first game as like 19 million to 4, and then you play the doubleheader, and then the doubleheader has a rainout to start it, then in the middle of it, then you finally finish that. It feels like it's taken 7 days to play four games. So the final game today against the Orioles. The Red Sox are right at 500. We're a couple minutes away from the second episode of the now-renowned 27 Games at a Time, exclusively here on the KJ Show. But let's get your text, 617-779-7937. Brian, what you got?
So I got a couple 617 texts, both in relation to the Red Sox. First one
says, that's what we've been talking about, yeah.
Cora has to go. Team spent money and are still just average. He's got to go.
Yeah, so the team has spent money, but there's a song called Should I Stay or Should I Go? And it says, if I stay, there will be trouble, and if I go, there will be double. Right? Like, if you stay, okay, at least you know the young guys are going to respond to you. You've seen what Abreu, you've gotten out of him. You've seen what you've gotten out of Duran. You've seen what you're getting out of Rafaela. You've been able to figure out what his position is. Like, those who are saying take him out of center field, it's just like, did you see the catch he made in Dead Man's Land the other day? Like, most people don't make that catch. And we've seen what's happened where you thought, hey, maybe Duran is the future center fielder, and he just really couldn't handle center field with his speed. So, like, you don't get rid of a great defensive center fielder and stick him at third just because you want to see someone. Like, so he's figured some of that out. The issue is, really, with Rafi, and that's the if I go, there will be double, right? Like, what has Rafi become? What does he do? He's already been able to buck the system with his owners, with the ownership. I mean, for God's sakes, John Henry flew out to Kansas City. I mean, I love Kansas City. I used to live there. It's a great place. But if your boss is showing up to take a flight to the middle of the country, and one thing, if I'm going to meet you in Miami and, yeah, I'm here to see friends and I need to talk to you. But when you go to Kansas City, I'm flying to talk to you. This is not about really hanging out. Maybe I get some good beef. There's a place called McGonagall's there. Like, oh, Brian, like, you know, people order these Omaha. Like, no, this. They will freeze. They will send it to you. They ship it to you overnight. You get your beef overnight, fresh cut. They send it on dry ice. Oh, my gosh.
Pretty good.
It's at 73rd and Warnell, I believe. Oh, my God, McGonagall's. Well, I can get away with that because McGonagall's does not have a local location here in New England, right? But, yeah, so if Cora goes, there's going to be trouble, right? Like, and part of that trouble may be like, well, Bregman's like, well, I'm not going to resign. And Devers is going to be like, and I'm not going to go back to third. But if he stays, like, you may continue to see some of the questionable things that are going on in terms of performance from this pitching staff, especially the frontline starters. I mean, outside of Walker Buehler getting, you know, hosed last week, he's on the mound again today. You know, like Buehler, like the guys that you went and got, they can give you innings. Giolito, I understood how it's kind of weird because if you look at his clause, if he pitches over 119 innings, I think it kicks in, like it's over 140 innings, like a $19 million clause kicks in. If it's under 140, it's like the team option at like 13. Maybe the number's a little bit off, but there is kind of an inherent design for the team to say, if Giolito's doing well, we don't want him to do so well that he pitches over the allotment of innings because it could be several million dollars in difference. That's just from a business perspective, right? So Giolito getting yanked and kind of staying towards the bottom of the rotation is really about the team saying, okay, let's see if we can get as many innings out of him, perform, and get him for the lower number. Not saying that that's the ultimate goal, but that is part of the goal. That's why you put an option in there. Like, you can go left or you can go right. So, yeah, there's a part of me that thinks that Cora might be gone if this team doesn't turn it around. All right, one more text, and then we'll get into 27 games at a time.
This is another 617 text. What does it say about Cora and Breslow that Devers can say no to them about going to first even after Gonzalez got hurt as well? Inmates are running the asylum.
Yeah, what if there's a conversation right now about like, hey, we've brought one of our prized possessions up to play the position you used to play, and now the person who we got to play that position, are we going to put all that pressure on Marcelo? Like, would that really be fair to say, hey, we're calling you up and you're going to be third? You're going to play third. You've only played four games at third, and now that you're the third baseman until Bregman comes back? Like, no, like... This is kind of like another protection of Raffy, because let's just say Mayer doesn't get called up, okay? You know what the questions would be? So, Raffy, are you going to start bringing your glove to the ballpark? Have you been bringing your glove to the ballpark? Are you going to start taking grounders at third again? And what if the answer was no? Okay, now this isn't a position that you suddenly have to learn. This is the position that you've typically played. I even heard Lou Maloney on the Nesson broadcast yesterday kind of mention about, hey, you know, Devers was really called up because of his bat, and you knew it wasn't because of his glove. I'm like, we're not going to backpedal on that. Because I can get with the reason of not him wanting to get to first, right? Like, first base is just not like putting some kid just because he's left-handed there. You've got to be able to be on par with the timing, with the pitcher. Your positioning is a little bit different. Like, you don't hug the line like you do when you're playing third on some occasions. So there are some nuances holding runners on. What does it look like on a particular count? Who's the particular runner on the base, and where are you positioned? There's a little bit more nuance there than just going and play and go get a different type of glove. I get that. But now the third baseman's hurt, and he's... And if it's anything like the same injury that he had before, he may be gone for 60 games. Not four, 60 potentially. And you're going to say no again? Because if I'm Rafi, think about it. You know what I would do? Brian, you know what I would do?
What?
I would tell them, hell no, I'm not going to third.
That's what he did when they asked him to play first.
Right. But now I'm going to tell you no to what I didn't want to be taken from in the first place. Management knew. This is why, like, think about it. One of your bigger signings in the last 7 to 10 years from the minor league situation, who's come through the minor leagues, gets his first game and a second game of a doubleheader. His family can't even be there. It's not even so. It's called break glass in case of emergency, because you know the crap that's about to come down the pike. The media is about to ask Raffy, Is he about to go back to third? And if he says no, Myers, he's come as the shield. Mayer's become, he's here as the shield. This is what's absolutely crazy of the entire situation with the Red Sox. And here's the funny thing. Baseball's usually not this interesting to damn near talk about it for a full hour. But because the Red Sox are making it interesting and knowing that Rafael Devers was... you think it might have been my tweet when I tweeted out as soon as Bregman went down? I was just like, yeah, Rafael Devers probably was like, don't ask me ish. Because he probably wants to get traded. Like, if you tell them no, you say, Rafi, we need you back at third, and it's going to be in for extended run, right? Because this is what you could do. Watch this. You could bring Roman Anthony up to just use him for his bat and not have to, and then kind of platoon him into the outfield. If Rafi says yes to third, this is a mess. More of your text, 617-779-7937. As well as your calls. We'll get to those shortly. But, you know, a couple years ago, I gave a term called 27 games at a time, and Brad Foe laughed at me until my 27 games at a time theory missed by one game by the time we got to the very end of the season. And since then, it has not failed. So I present to you...
27 at a time, games at a time, 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 27 at a time. All when you need to know, if the Sox are stinking,
right now they
are. JJ hooks you up.
Uh-huh.
And then you get to think 27 at a time, games at a time, 27 at a time.
That's kind of impressive for a Sunday morning show to be able to get some production done. But episode one, we'll go back to spring training where, of course, we're all waiting to see if Bregman is coming or if he's not coming. And then when he finally gets here, they try to have the conversation with Rafael Devers about giving up third base, the position that he's always played, not as great defensively, to moving to DH. So much so that they had Big Poppy, the soothsayer, come in to talk to him about it, about what it's like transitioning from the infield to the DH position. And at the time I said, hey, why it's really tough for Rafael Devers to hear this is because the guy's, what, 26, 27 years old? And now you're asking him to leave the infield? Look, if he just told you, like, I just want to hit and don't want to play the field, everybody would say, yeah, you're lazy, get your glove out there, participate. But here's what was going on at the time in this first episode of 27 Games on the Time about Devers going to DH.
You talked about the Rafi first base thing the other day. Have you had any conversations with him about it?
No.
Yeah. So, well, that was for him. That's in episode two about asking him to go first. So, Devers finally agrees. He gets his head together. You barely see him during the spring, but he does come in to start to DH. And what happens in episode one of 27 games at a time for Rafael Devers? He absolutely sucks. And at the time you're thinking, hey, wait a minute, maybe the guy's having a temper tantrum at the plate and is just kind of showing it because it's like, look, this guy can hit with his eyes closed. I've seen this guy hit balls way outside the zone like he's Vladimir Guerrero Sr., and this guy's missing fastballs. And some of the conversation was like, see what happens when you miss spring training because you're pouting because you're not in the field. You're missing contact with the ball. Even some of the stories had come out or a story had leaked out that during this conversation of getting Devers to go to DH, he wanted a trade. So it was like, okay, well, what's going on? But at the same time, Alex Bregman, the replacement at third, is off to a hot start, remember?
Swing and a drive, high and deep, into left field, goodbye! Bregman launches, and the Red Sox lead Skubal and the Tigers 2-1.
And that felt even better because the Tigers seem to be the team that might have been the ones that got Bregman instead of the Red Sox. Bregman is the AL Player of the Month in April. It's his hottest April that I can remember because my concern for episode one going into it was, have you seen Bregman's April numbers over the last 3 years? Like 221, 219, 220. They were horrible, but this year completely turned everything around. And let's just put it this way. The way that 27 games at a time works is to know if you're going to be a wild card or playoff team, you pretty much have to go 15-12 across all six episodes to get you to 90 wins, right? 89 is kind of that watermark. You get to 89 wins, either you're the last wild card or you are the last wild card by a game. So 90 wins is the ideal goal, and it can get you can get to it not by being this out of the world team. Just go 15-12 in each episode, and you'll get to 90 games. So in episode one, where you saw Cassis struggle, William Abreu was hot, Christian Campbell was rookie of the month, and so things were looking okay, and the team finished 14-13. After episode one in 27 games at a time, making them one game short of the goal, which isn't the worst thing, right? Because you can make these up in other frames. And they were only how many games back behind the Yankees? Two games at the time. They were only two games out behind the Yankees after the first 27 games. Then you get to episode two, right? Trevor Story. We'll get to him shortly. Crochet's still hot, but still doesn't have a win at home. But the big story is Cassis' injury as he goes down on May 2nd. Here it is.
Cue shot, chopper on the first base line. Ryan bobbles, flips underhand, and Cassis goes down in a heap, and he twisted his ankle through the bag. Tristan is in a ton of pain. He was smelling an infield hit. The right ankle and maybe knee rolled through the bag.
He just let out a yell, too. He is lying on his back. Alex Cora and the staff have come out. Cassis is totally on his back. He made a lunge toward the bag to be safe after Ryan bobbled, and this is not looking good.
Yeah, so right near the start of episode two of 27 games at a time, Cassis goes down with the injury, and you almost say at the time, like, hey, the guy just really needed a break. If you remember just a couple games before that, he has the walk-off that wins a game for them. So it felt like maybe things were starting to turn around for him. But now Cassis' injury determines that he's going to be out for the rest of the season. And now you have an opening at first base. Well, if you remember in episode one, the third baseman was not happy about getting moved to DH. So then the question became, do you move Devers to first base? And here's what the response was.
You talked about the Raffy first base thing the other day. Have you had any conversations with him about it?
No.
Had you had any conversations with him about it? No. Well, because you knew probably what was coming. And in fairness to Cora, hey, I've already gone and asked the player to make a sacrifice to be out of the field. How do I now make him kind of a team player to the public, but inside the locker room or in the locker room, but to probably to management? We might get into a thorn in the side situation, because how can you ask for something big and then ask for something big again? And when would they stop asking? In fact, Rafael Devers made the quip of, hey, you know, if they need help in the outfield, were they going to put me in the outfield? It's just like, oh boy. So Devers tells management and the team, I'm not playing first. In fact, and this may be lost somewhere in translation, maybe they should be looking at free agency. Wow. So the team is kind of waddling along here in episode two. Win streak, losing streak. And they just seem to can't get their footing to build off of what was a decent start. They're waddling around 500. And then I think the season frustration came out literally in Walker Buehler's last start. Here it is.
Buehler, who hops down the Red Sox steps in the first base dugout, tosses his hat, and he has been run from this game.
What a joke. You cannot eject a starting pitcher this early in the game. That's a joke, especially since he missed it. I don't care what magic word Buehler said. That is absurd. And now Alex will get run, and he'll get his money's worth. That is absolutely embarrassing from Mike Easterbrook.
Almost felt like Will Fleming was going to curse, and he doesn't seem like he was cursing.
Thought Will was going to go down to the field and start cursing out the umpire.
Well, that's the thing. The situation with Walker Buehler, absolutely right. Like, how do you miss a called strike right down the middle? But you need to say that from on high, not come down low, right? And with Cora eventually ripping off the bullpen phone cover off of the phone, you're like, okay, maybe this is kind of the injection that this team needs. You've got Campbell trying to practice playing first. And keep in mind, Campbell's the guy who really can't say no, or like, you just gave him his deal, right? So like, I just bought the family a house. You know, like, different than the guy over there who's sitting over there eating the sunflower seeds and taking four swings a game and watching YouTube, you know. Get my golf swing down before my next at bat. I'm totally kidding. I'm not saying that's what Raffy's doing, but hey, you got that free time. Campbell, he can't say no. And now you have this hodgepodge going on. You've got Trevor Story leading Major League Baseball in strikeouts, and it's not even really close. It's bad. So now you've got a situation where you've got a shortstop who's getting all this money, and when he's finally there, like at least for 25 games in a row, it's really bad. There's nobody you can get on the phone with. And what do? Your third baseman has gone down. Your shortstop is providing central cooling for all the fans there from all the swings and misses. Your star hitter, who is on fire, who's probably going to be the player of the month, is refusing to play a second position and now maybe not be willing to play a third position, his original position. You call up one of your star prospects really in the middle of a doubleheader, and here's Marcelo Meyer's part of his debut yesterday.
My 1-2. Two down in the seventh. Kittredge throws. Marcelo swings and misses. He is struck out. Good slider. Not a storybook yet tonight.
Yeah. I don't care who you are. There's probably a good chance you're going to strike out three times. It's your very first game, and you drove up the Mass Pike to get there probably 2 hours before. Stretching, not really too much for time of that. Here's your jersey. Overwhelming. First day to the big leagues. Wow. Playing short? Nah, we give that guy a lot of money and his arm because of the shoulders he's been in. We can't even move him to third. Episode 2 has the Red Sox finishing that clip. 13-14. Oh, okay. Now, three games off of a 90-game win total. But more importantly, 5.5 behind the lead with the Yankees and still haven't seen them yet. So if you looked at the first clip, you're like, if they can continue even a 14-13, see how one game difference can tell a whole story as we continue on. Because, wow, I can't wait to see what episode 3 has in store, right? There'll be no Bregman in it. You'll get 27, at least 27 games out of Marcelo Meyer.
27 out of time.
Right. You'll get at least 25 games, probably 27 games out of him. You'll see what's going on there. Does Christin Campbell go over to first, and what does that look like? Does Rafael Devers start to bring his glove to the park, and what does that mean for the young kid that just drove his car up from Worcester? This is how you do compelling, entertaining, episodic radio around a baseball team that's just absolutely making you go, huh? And they're 500. All right, next. Some of the changes going on in the media landscape, we'll get to that. Plus, would you rather more likely to either or here on the KJ Show? Thank you for starting your Sunday here on WEEI.
27 out of time.
The Red Sox Station.
Back by the wall! Bah! Bah! Red Sox win it!
WEEI, New England Sports Original.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, More of the KJ Show with KJ Carson on WEEI.
KJ Show on WEEI. You recognize the music around the horn. No more. This is his final episode on Friday after, I think, 22 years. And deservedly so. You can pat down the music. So it's kind of crazy. You think, like, I remember when Tony Reale started as Stat Boy on PTI, the spinoff to PTI, it was Around the Horn. And if you know the history of Kornheiser and Wilborn, they are both guys that have been writers for the Washington Post for years as sports writers. And so really it was just kind of a spinoff for Stat Boy. I don't even know if you know this, Brian, that Reale started off as Stat Boy, you know, correcting the errors. That's why when you watch PTI, when they have errors or corrections, that used to be Reale's spot on their show. They then turn around and give him Around the Horn. Well, actually, I think it started with Kellerman, and then it was him, if I'm correct. So I think it was Kellerman for a quick second. Somewhere Kellerman is in there. And so it was a great show because there was an infotainment element to it. You got information, but you were also entertained. That's why people remember Woody Page clearly. They remember Plaschke, and even Plaschke was kind of boring. But really, it was Woody Page and what was the other guy's name? Jay Mariotti. Those two were really kind of like, in a weird way, the precursor to First Take. I'm kind of giving you a historical perspective, a very boring book report. But what ended up becoming Around the Horn were a bunch of book report boring people. Like, eventually it became just information. And then some of the information you started getting from some of the people, you're like, oh, gosh, really? Is this time for Save the Damn Whales? Are we really saving the whales here? Is that what's really happening right now? Like, this is paint dry. And as time has gone on, and in fairness, right, they've tried to keep newspaper guys alive. But if sometimes you've heard, sometimes it could be like watching newspaper drying on a wall. It could be that boring. And that's I could not watch Around the Horn because there was nothing tainment portion of it. It was just all information. And it became a bunch of stats, and nobody could make, you know, double entendre jokes because they weren't fun. Like, there was no showmanship. I don't know if people know this. Unless you're turning on PBS Discovery or the History Channel, people want to be entertained. Right? I don't know about you. I want to be entertained. Like, if I'm turning on the History Channel, I'm not expecting there to be a laugh track over some information about the Korean War. Like, I don't expect that. I expect to be like, I'm going to learn something. I don't want a bunch of jokes. Everything else, yeah. Like, there should be some element of humor, and there was just no hell element of entertainment. So I know some people are sad to see the show go, but damn. I mean, like, the only other show that I could think on that was like around like that long was Cops. And let's just face it, that was an indoctrination that taught people how to say, I see them on my TV every Saturday night, so therefore that's how they must be. So yeah, all good. If you wanted perspective, have you noticed PTI is still on? Right? Like, the two old guys that spun off the show have outlasted the show they spun off because, watch this, they are still entertaining. Lights, camera, action, not lights, camera, book report. All right, text 617-779-7937. What you got, Brian?
So this is a big topic of conversation throughout the week. Alex Cora missing Monday night's game to attend his daughter's graduation, which was in the morning, but even still, people were upset that he missed the game. The text line actually defending him, saying, it's his kid's graduation. This old school F the family for work mentality is dead, and rightfully so. That's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It is a game in May. So defending Alex Cora for missing Monday night's game.
Yeah, so there's two parts to that, and I totally agree. Right, it's graduation, it's game 52 that he's missing. This isn't like this is game 182 and it's the playoff to determine who gets in there. Yeah, I mean, you do the helicopter if you need to. You know, like, you take the helicopter from BC, you go over to Fenway, you bypass traffic, you get over to work. Yeah, if it's game, you know, 163, right? It's that one game playoff that you have to play to determine. Yeah, it's something totally different. You know, but in terms of the other side of that, you know, I hate to break the kayfabe wall of professional wrestling here, but yeah, don't ever really believe that someone really believed that, right? Because if that's the case, why take any of the at least 10 days allotted for vacation? You can't predict what sports events are going to happen, but people still take days off. You know, people, I'll give you a little backstory, right? Like, to show you how small this world is, right? Little old KJ on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. had an uncle that was a sportscaster in New Haven, Connecticut, some couple decades ago. He's passed away. One of those guys that he gave his start to in terms of in the broadcast industry worked with said, I'm mad person about Cora taking the day off at the George Michael Sports Machine. So this is what I'm saying. It's sometimes it's very much like backstage at pro wrestling, right? Yeah, both of them are bloodied in the ring, but when they get backstage, they're like, oh, what a great match. Boy, we got the crowd to pop. You know, so I mean, I hate to break kayfabe here, and maybe I'm going a bit stone cold on my entire industry, but do not believe for one damn second that someone believes that someone should not take off for a lifetime achievement for a single game that does not have any playoff implications.
No days off.
Yeah, come on, man. If you're really buying that, I mean, I hate to tell you this. Pro wrestling physically is real. Emotionally, they're not fighting each other. There is no beef. There is no beef, and there is no real oomph between someone believing you shouldn't be there for your kid's graduation unless you're going for the cut blood segment in the middle of the ring and the pop of, you know, here comes Stone Cold. You know, oh my God, oh my God. That's going for the pop. I mean, I hate to break that down. All right. Two more texts, and then we'll get to Would You Rather More Likely To, either or. What you got?
So I got 27 games at a time. Damn, how old do you have to be to remember that old TV show? Kidding, yeah. KJ. Good stuff. Neat way to break down a long season. I'm not going to lie. This is a 781 text, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't get that there was a show reference either. I think this one went right over my head.
So One Day at a Time is from the show it's from. And here's why it always sticks in my mind. Not because I was actively watching it, but I get whatever it is that I do. I don't call it humor. I think it's just called excessive left brain usage when I'm on the air. So I'm a kid. My dad's drinking a beer. He's watching the show. He enjoyed the show. And I'm thinking, like, Dad, I didn't know you had a fetish. Totally kidding. But, well, actually, maybe. And so he's drinking a beer as the show is over, right? This is no lie. I would never make this up. And I was like, and it's not like my dad drank all the time. I was like, Dad, why? You know, like, you're drinking your beer. Like, why are you drinking a beer? Like, I was like a little kid. He was just like, look, it made Budweiser. And on the television, I kid you not, the executive producer of the show was a guy named Budweiser. W-I-S-N-E-R. Look it up. B-U-D-W-I-S-N-E-R. My father was like, it made Budweiser. I was like, oh my God. Like, I thought my dad was like the greatest magician. So that's why that show was always stuck in my head. But then when I started saying you really should ingest the Major League Baseball season 27 games at a time, I don't know if you've noticed, but you know, if National comes calling, or Dallas or Atlanta or Philadelphia comes calling, I could just use this for those teams too. But my point being is, look, to try and break down every game of the season, oh my gosh, that's like counting. You're like, you ever see in that meme that someone has put from the work refrigerator? It says, I have 4,182
grains of rice.
Yeah, grains of rice and shrimp. That's like talking about every single game of the season for an entire season is like counting those rice inside the food that's in the work container of somebody's lunch. Like, I'm definitely not going to do that. All right, one more text before we get into Would You Rather.
All right, I got a 617 text. KJ, what are your thoughts on the Ryan Clark RG3 drama?
Oh, God. So I'll make it quick. Okay, some people like to see the whole Will Smith smacking Chris Rock thing.
Did you like that, by the way?
What? No, because here's the issue what I have. It puts people on display that turns their misgivings or misguidings or misstatements on display. Now, I guess what kind of makes it interesting is some people are kind of trying to side with RG3, but it's like that panic button. Which panic button do they push? They're like, oh gosh, defend RG3 or go after Ryan Clark. Some people are really sweating about that just because of the RG3 side. Yeah, it's sad because I hate to see, one, a couple of athletes try and speak on things. Like, you're really making the just stick to sports crowd. You're giving them more fodder. Like, it is, as much as we talk about people, items, I even will talk about things across the street, but I'm never going to talk about their family. That is just something that a professional knows that you just don't do. Like in this pro wrestling inference that I used, I didn't get into like, and this is how they use the razor to cut their opponents, and this is what, and I'm not saying that. You don't get into the stuff that doesn't apply to the job. And sometimes that is really tough for guys who've been, you know, in locker rooms, like, well, your mama this, your mama that, your mama this, your mama that. And then suddenly when they speak on something, they'd be like, so yeah, it's sad. That's what it is. Because here are a couple of guys kind of blowing into the wind and not realizing that any one of us are replaceable, whether we're pro athlete, former pro athlete, or you're the KJ show. All right. Let's do it. Let's do it, Brian. Yeah. I know we're running over time. I'm probably going to get hammered about this.
You rather more like the two. Either or, I ask of you.
Uh-huh.
Would you rather more like the two. Either or, I ask of you.
All right. Three questions. Would you rather more likely to happen an either or? They can be in anything, sports, life. Here we go.
All right, what you got, Brian?
All right, I got a would you rather for you. I got this. Would you rather, KJ, the Celtics build the future around Tatum in 2 years, move pieces now, or keep Jaylen Brown and acquire pieces around him for a potential run next season? Of course, Jason Tatum went down about a week or two ago with an Achilles tear.
Yeah, Tatum's probably going to be out for the calendar year, so you may not see him again until January. Maybe you build pieces around Brown, where Brown is obviously going to be the lead focus of the offense, and see if those pieces are also things that would match Tatum when he gets back. I don't think this team is so bad that you're like, okay, this is a tank. Is this a 1-2 seed team next season? No. Are they a 5-seed, 4-5 seed? Absolutely. So I'd say get some small pieces around Brown and maybe have them available, because look, you've got sixes and fours and threes playing for the NBA, you know, in these Eastern Conference Finals and Western Conference Finals. So anything can happen. So I would try and maybe put some pieces around Brown and see how those pieces may apply to Tatum versus waiting another year. All right, next.
All right, more likely to happen. The Patriots win more than 9 games this season, or the Red Sox win over 79 games this season?
Yeah, the Red Sox last 3 seasons, 81, 78, 78 wins. Ooh, Bregman down.
Definition of mediocre, huh?
Yeah, oh gosh. Bregman down, that's going to eat up. Story proving to absolutely be a dud. And eating up salary, you can't move him. Man, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say this might be an under. I think the Patriots will win more than 9 games. Then better chance than the Sox winning over 79. I think that's a real possibility. Wow. Next.
All right, finally, either or. Go back to 2021 and either go bar hopping with the now famous, or infamous, I should say, Karen Reed.
Okay.
Or club hopping with Sean Combs.
Oh, Jesus. Have you seen where Sean Combs actually went to Kid Cudi's house and opened up his kids' gifts and locked the... Oh, what a bad guy. I don't know, because obviously in drinking will involve both. And let's just call it what it is. If Karen Reed wasn't somewhat of a smoke show... Bro, she's in jail. Let's just call it what it is, right? Like, because Karen Reed is a looker, I would go bar hopping with her, right? Like, Uber, very key in this scenario. Nah, babe, we're taking an Uber, and you're going to come in the house with me. That's what's going to happen. And that is Would You Rather More Likely To Either Or. Tom Carroll, our WEEI beat reporter, he joins us here in about 15 minutes. More KJ Show next here on WEEI. Good Sunday to you. Thanks for hanging out.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station. You're listening to The KJ Show with KJ Carson on WEEI.
Drake May threw four interceptions at the OTA practice. Big deal or no big deal?
Not a big deal. Not at all. No matter how much other people try to make it a big deal, it is not a big deal. So what are they going to do? They are going to instill fear in you. Oh, my God. Drake May threw four interceptions. Oh, my God. This is what he did last year. Oh, my God. There's another offensive coordinator. Oh, my God. There's another playbook. They are ruining him. This is from the playbook, how to ruin a young quarterback.
The KJ Show on your Sunday on WEEI, 617-779-7937. That's for calls and texts. We're 10 minutes away from Tom Carroll, a.k.a. Tommy Freeze Pops. We'll talk more Red Sox and his thoughts, including a great article about Liam Hendricks and what's going on social media. That's coming in about 10 minutes. That's Greg Bedard talking about the interceptions of Drake May at OTAs. Can I remind people what the O in OTA stand for?
What would that be?
Optional. Optional. So here's the thing. Your second-year guy, you need to be at OTAs. Rookie, obviously, got to be OTAs, right? This is your chance to just go ahead and get your arm loose, right? Like, this is getting your wind beneath your wings back. This is not like, oh my gosh, there's a game tomorrow, or the playoffs are on the line on Tuesday. I the hyperbole of like, oh, this is no. Now here's where I would be concerned in OTAs. With Drake May, if he only showed up with one arm. If Drake May just showed up to camp and oh my God, what, a beach accident? He lost his arm?
What if it was only his left arm? He still had his right arm.
Even his left arm, because that would be an issue because, how do you get that balance? You're going to run with the ball. Get two hands on the ball. Maybe you need to switch to the left arm if you're running towards the left sideline. If you run to the weak side. But my point being is this. I don't know why it's even a story. I have nowhere in my notes that I'm going to discuss OTAs. Optionals? It's optional. Optional. Now, we're going to have a conversation about how particular rookies look and so forth, but they're not even going up against the mandatories, right? Until the mandatories are there, do we have any type of discussion? And last year, there was a little bit of discussion once mandatories had started, right? That some guys were kind of coming out of the locker room a little bit slower. Some guys kind of sitting and you're like, okay, is there kind of a discipline issue that might have been going on? It turned out the answer was yes. There's nothing you can gauge from OTAs unless there's an injury that's a sustained injury that happens at OTAs. And then you know what the question would be, the outrage would be? Why are you pushing these guys so hard? It's only OTAs. It's not the mandatory. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. And so for those who kind of joke, all they talk about is Patriots, this is literally going to be the shortest conversation I'm going to have about the Patriots, probably ever. What are we, 3 minutes? 4 minutes? Because there's nothing to talk about. Nothing. Unless it's contrived, right? What can I contrive? Drake May threw those interceptions. Okay, I got to leave the wife out of it. Well, there is no wife. Drake May threw the interceptions. What's a good contrivance? Let's see. Drake May threw those interceptions because he got a weird phone call from someone from the old tribe or from the old coaching staff. I don't know. See how hard that is to do? Why not just tell the truth? Throwing interceptions in OTAs does not mean anything. Here's the other thing that's not going to mean anything. The backup quarterback. Please, let's not have any conversations that, Josh Dobbs looked better than Drake May today. I don't care. I don't care if he pulls up in a Rolls Royce. Him and Bob Kraft are drinking beers together. He's celebrating. He's got a birthday cake. Dancers jump out of it. He's not going to see a single snap barring injury.
Well, clearly you didn't see the reports out of Dallas that Joe Milton was, quote, turning heads in wild OTA debut.
OTA! OTAs! Optionals! When it's pretty much mandatory, when you have to be at the optionals, you know, like, that tells you what they think, you know? But I also know what they're trying to do in Dallas, right? It's they're ultimately not happy with Dak. Dak is an old moving story. I've got buddies at our sister station there in Dallas that, I'll be honest with you, they're the ones that reach out to me for information, because there just seems to be a lot of Patriots cross-pollinization, whether it was the blowout game, and we talked about that, or Ezekiel Elliott showing up here, now Joe Milton going there. So there's this weird exchange of information that's going back and forth between here in Boston and in Dallas. It's just kind of weird. They come to me. Maybe that's a statement overall. Now I'm doing a wrestling promo. Maybe that's a little bit of a statement here, you know, but yeah. OTAs do not matter when you have a backup quarterback that does not factor in. It's going to get interesting, and I've been saying this. The most interesting part that's going to be about camp is going to be Travion Henderson versus Ramondre Stevenson. There is your headliner. There is your final match of the evening, ladies and gentlemen, is what you're going to see out of the running back room. The receiver room, it's Stephon Diggs and the boys. We know that's what it is. Quarterback room, it's Drake May and the guys. Running back room, there's a new kid in town, and he can catch too, and he runs as hard too. That's going to be interesting. And there you go. I talked about Patriots offseason in less than 6 minutes here on the KJ Show. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your text, and then we'll be joined by Tom Carroll here shortly. But right now it's time for Brian Frazoco with Trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here is what's trending now on WEEI and on WEEI.com. The Red Sox split their doubleheader with the Baltimore Orioles yesterday. They won Game 1 in extra innings 6-5 thanks to a walk-off single from Rafael Devers. They did lose Game 2 by a score of 2-1 last night. It was Marcelo Meyer's first MLB appearance. He unfortunately went 0-4. Final game of this four-game set is today with first pitch at 1:35, and we will have the call for you of that game right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks, they'll be on the call. And you got yourself some Joe Weil on the Mass Mutual pregame show right here at 12:35. Walker Buehler will get the nod for the Sox. It will be his first start since his early ejection on Tuesday night. Dean Kremer will be on the hill for the Baltimore Orioles. The NHL playoffs continue today with Game 3 between the Dallas Stars and Edmonton Oilers. Puck drop of that game at 3 o'clock this afternoon. That series is tied at a game apiece. The Eastern Conference Finals Game 3 was last night as Brad Marchand and the Florida Panthers steamrolled the Carolina Hurricanes by a score of 6-2. The Hurricanes are now 0-15 in their last 15 Eastern Conference Finals games dating back to 2009. The Panthers now lead that series 3-0. They're a game shy of their third straight Stanley Cup appearance. The Timberwolves took Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals last night with a blowout win over the Oklahoma City Thunder 143-101, thanks in part to 30 points from their star Anthony Edwards. The Thunder still lead that series 2-1. Game 3 between the Knicks and Pacers is today from Indiana with tip-off at 8 o'clock. The Pacers are looking to go up 3-0 in that series. And finally, the New England Revolution played to a 3-3 draw yesterday with Sporting KC. They will take the field again on Wednesday when they take on DC United. The Revolution are 10th in the Eastern Conference. I'm Brian Frazoco. That's what's trending now on WEEI and on WEEI.com. Tom Carroll joins the show coming up next.
This is the KJ Show with KJ Carson on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
The KJ Show brings the action to WEEI. Good Sunday to you. Thanks for starting your day. Hey, I don't know if this is true, but I've been getting emails saying that I listened to you on the way to Sunday service. I was like, really? But thank you. This has been kind of a weird show, right? It's old dark early in the morning for the most part for a lot of people. But my goodness, Brian, you might have been here with a guy who reached out to me. He was like, hey, can you tell me the name of that snoring device? Because my wife is about to kill me. You remember that? A guy asked about, yeah, there was a guy asking about a story, listening to the KJ Show. Like, they're asking about stuff I'm talking about. I have good news. I had a bad tooth issue going on, and I thought it was the snoring device, but it actually wasn't. It was just a cavity. So I'm really rocking a super big hole in my mouth right now. maybe this is a statement about like health insurance and stuff like that, but it's like, you should go see a dentist. Like, well, I can go see him, but then he'll ask for money. You know, so I literally have, this is not going to sound nasty, I have this huge slit down my very back tooth on my right side at the bottom. I made the mistake of putting sprinkles in some ice cream last night.
Oof.
Oh my God. Just that little small sprinkle hitting that. Brother, you could have, I could have told you where the hidden sleuths of Alexandria in the great BC days were. I would have told you the history of the world if you needed to. And as a confession, it hurt that bad. So I appreciate all of you who listen and reach out anytime. Of course, at KJ Carson on Twitter. Just, you know, keep kind of the, you know, the baiting stuff down, because Twitter's kind of become a little bit of a place of kind of like, you know, like, good gracious, free speech, or speech that will get your ass kicked if you said it in front of somebody's face. We'll get to Tom Carroll, a little bit about the Liam Hendricks situation here in a second. We'll get to a text message here, and then we'll get to Tom. What you got, Brian?
I got an 857 text in relation to that last segment about the running backs. KJ, do you really think there's going to be a battle for running, or it says RB1, running back one between Stevenson and Henderson? The Patriots just gave Ramondre Stevenson that contract before last season.
Yeah, see, that's what's crazy about the NFL is we can give you a contract in 1 year and you could be gone the next. Like, the NFL is the one sport where it's like, it doesn't matter what you did last year.
Especially at that position, too, at the running back position.
Yeah, and because there's now this resurgence, now suddenly you can go rediscover running backs a little bit earlier and now use them the way you want. So, look, if Henderson beats out Stevenson, then you'd have to say, okay, there's no way Stevenson is your two back at $9 million a year. And plus, he's probably the one trade piece that you have on this team that can get you a nice return that you might say is tradable. So, yeah, I think it's a very fascinating situation there in the running back room. All right, a little behind schedule, but my man Tom Carroll, a.k.a. Tommy Freeze Pops. Tom, first I want to say, because has the endorsement game been going pretty well for you since I don't want to say necessarily the restaurant, but you have appeared in articles all over the country about your diet at a particular place that you would eat daily, your lunch day. How has the sponsorship game picked up for you? Has it picked up for you?
It hasn't. That's the disappointing thing.
Maybe you should snore at night.
You get one of those brands.
Yeah, we
could have avoid saying the brand since they didn't pay me any money to talk about them at this point. I've got one free salad, KJ. One free salad.
Okay, but you know the great thing about it is sometimes those things spread bigger from outside of you, right? So like the day that I see you on, I don't know, are talk shows even big anymore? Like you're on the Steve Harvey talk show one day. If you're on the Steve Harvey talk show, I'd be like, yeah, maybe. Maybe you get a Steve Harvey suit out of it. I don't know, congratulations on your tremendous weight loss journey you heard me talk about health just now with my tooth. You've actually taken care of your whole body. So
yeah, I appreciate that, man. Yeah, thank you. And it's absolutely just important for everyone to get ahead of this stuff. So I encourage everyone to do the same.
Yeah, very true. Tom is one of our beat writers here at WEEI.com, and I want to talk to you about the Red Sox first. Let me get your thoughts on the Bregman injury and how that correlates to will Raffy bring his glove to work now suddenly, and the call up of Marcelo Mayer playing third. What are your thoughts?
So I don't think that this is going to entail Raffy Devers bringing his glove to work, as you say, because look, the guy is absolutely on fire at DH. And I was in the camp of, well, dude, you wanted to play the field. Now this is your opportunity to play the field when it came to the first base thing. Then at third base, it was the same deal. But now it's like, don't break it if it ain't, you know, don't fix it if it ain't broken. You know, it's like, why would you mess with that bat right now? So if you're out here calling for this guy to play third base, I don't know. I think you need to reevaluate it, because this offense needs that bat in a big way. I mean, you're a team that's consistently losing one-run games. You need a guy that can have an 8 RBI game, or, you know, have that walk-off hit for you, be comfortable and be productive for you. So if you now reintroduce third base, I think it could screw things up, as weird as that sounds. So, like, is he being a selfish baby about this? Yes, absolutely. but that selfish baby is the best DH in the American League right now. So let him cry all he wants and play the position that he's playing because he's dominating. So I like the call up. I think it was well overdue to get these kids up here. I think Roman Anthony saw Marcelo Mayer get called up. And I don't know if you saw that video from Worcester last night where it was the hardest hit ball of the season. It was like 116 miles off the bat. So I don't think that that's a coincidence that the day that his buddy gets called up, he's like, hey, look what I can do too. Like, right. I'm in favor of getting these guys up here to get some juice into the clubhouse because it's just that middling malaise that we've been used to with the Red Sox the last 3-4 years.
So would you be concerned that by bringing a lot of these young guys in, that it's kind of a small way of saying to the fan base, don't be upset if this team isn't in the playoff hunt, it misses out on the wild card, it misses the playoffs, but you've gotten at-bats for the young guys? Does that sound, is that a bad message to send to the fans if that's the message they may be sending?
So it's funny you say that because that's been in the back of my mind too, because we know that this front office loves their excuses, right? So they have this built-in excuse ready to rock if things don't turn around here. Well, like, hey, you know, we all wanted the young guys to come up and they've gotten at bats. And hey, this is me doing a Craig Breslow voice, by the way. I hope it works. it just hasn't really panned out yet, but look, they're getting good experience, and you know, this is about building a foundation. You know, this isn't about winning now, and it is totally built in here. I don't know that them calling up the young guys necessarily sends that message from the jump, but it certainly gives them that out if they miss the playoffs by 3 games or whatever it's going to be again this year.
Look at Freeze Pops bringing the entertainment to the show. There you go. That was a good Breslow. That sounded just
okay,
like you.
All right, good.
Yeah.
I think that bringing these young guys up helps them win, personally. I think that these guys can play, and you're going to see it early on. I mean, you saw it with Christian Campbell to start the year. Obviously, he's been in a slump, but these guys clearly have skill, and I think when you bring a guy like this up, it can add that juice that you need. I mean, we've seen it with Red Sox World Series teams in the past. We saw it with Bogarts in 2013. We saw it with Ellsbury in 2007. Like, you bring up a young guy, and it can really help give you that jolt. So that's,
you know,
that's
those are spending errors. That was during the Dombrowski spend money errors, right?
Like, that's true. So
I don't have an issue with the younger players coming up because you've seen success from the younger players coming up. Duran, Abreu, you like what Nevarez is doing, right? What he's been able to provide. What Rafaela, like I said, don't take him out of center field because he's provided you the ability to play a couple of positions. But you now have a center fielder. So your center field is literally locked with the future. And that's really good because the way Major League Baseball, in terms of the big boppers, the ones you really have to pay a lot of money to, tend to either be corner infielders or outfielders. So you've got your outfield of the future, and they can produce. The team is moving a little more towards speed and less of the three-run homer. And so the concern I do have is with young guys, you're learning on the job, and those are real wins and losses. I think the bigger concern that I have are the young pitchers who are just not being able to keep up with the innings regimen that you were hoping that they would grow to. Give me your thoughts on what that feeling is between how this bullpen, where we've joked about it over the last years, but now this year they're just super overextended.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's funny, like, the bullpen has really stepped up in the last week or so, you know, as the Red Sox have been trying to, like, climb out of this little mini slump they've had. And it's been just like a series of mini slumps with this team, right? It's like a week of bad, a week of good, a week of bad, a week of good. And, you know, I do worry that the philosophy of spreading out these pitches over 3 starts, you know, what is it, like 200 pitches over 3 starts is kind of that sweet spot that they want these starters to stay under. The reliance and the, you know, insistence on staying at that number regardless of the situation.
Get you 9 innings total.
Exactly. It can really bite you. Yeah. Down the line later in the season. Like, we've seen it with some of these starters breaking down for the Red Sox in recent years. Like, you know, we saw what Tanner Houck looked like in the latter half of the season last year. We saw, you know, the entirety of Chris Sale's time in Boston. Like, he never finished a season the way he started it. But I do worry that you're going to see some breakdown from a bullpen down the line if you continue to really hammer home. Like Crochet shouldn't have come out at 86 pitches the other day. That just shouldn't have happened. The guy is a horse. You let that guy pitch until it looks like he shouldn't be pitching anymore. Like, and I get it. The guy hasn't had a full season as a starter.
And has had TJ surgery, so...
Yeah, but like you bring that guy in and you pay him the way that you pay him because you project that he can be that type of force for you. So like I do think there should be nuance with the way that you treat certain pitchers. So I do worry that you're going to start to see a bullpen that isn't exactly spring chickens start to break down a little bit down the season. But look, like let's not worry about a problem that's not a problem yet. But at the same time, it's something that they need to, I think, be way more cognizant of.
Got Tom Carroll, a.k.a. Tommy Freeze Pops, here on the KJ Show on your Sunday here on WEEI. Speaking of the bullpen, Liam Hendricks had recently expressed a bit of frustration of not being able to get the ball and feeling like he's been passed over maybe a couple of times to get into the game. And then when he gets in, it kind of stinks up and it gets pretty ugly. This is the source of your article. Can you talk about the conversation that the article that you have at WEEI discussing Giolito went through it earlier this season, Liam Hendricks recently, about some of these threats that and some of the just disparaging social media comments these players are getting because of game situations?
Yeah, it's gross. I think that, you know, if you guys haven't seen the story about midweek, I think it was Thursday. I think it was very late Wednesday night or Thursday. Liam Hendricks posted on his Instagram story about some legitimate death threats that he was getting on social media from fans. And I'll just read the statement in case you guys haven't seen it. He said, "Just as an FYI, threats against my life and my wife's life are horrible and cruel. You need help. Leaving comments telling me to commit suicide and how you wish I died from cancer is disgusting and vile. Maybe you should take a step back and reevaluate your life's purpose before hiding behind a screen, attacking players and their families. Whether you do it from your fake accounts or are dumb enough to do it from your real account, I think I speak for all players who have had to deal with this in their career and say, enough is enough." I mean, the fact that he even has to put a statement like that out is absolutely terrible. And we know that the internet can be an absolute dumpster fire of a place. But guys, you don't need to be sending people death threats because your four-leg parlay didn't hit where you would have won like $15.
No, it was the nine-leg parlay is why they send it, right? Four, you're smart, right?
It just doesn't need to be like that. And it shouldn't be like that. And I know that that's easier said than done because just the internet is going to be full of gross people at all times. But I really appreciate Hendricks going out on a limb and saying something and stepping up and trying to be a voice of change on this matter, because when you step up and say things like this, it inevitably makes you a target. Like, I bet that the day after he posted that, and I'm sure he got a ton of love, I bet he got even more.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you remember with Duran speaking up during Netflix about his suicide attempt, there's people that are in a stadium still going to say things about it to his face in a negative way. Like, we saw it earlier this year. Like, Hendricks...
I really wish he went Ron Artest in there. I just want these players to just... I just want them to go Ron Artest on them, if you don't know what that means.
Awful, man. I wouldn't blame him.
Right, I wouldn't blame him. And here's the thing, Tom. Here's the thing, Tom, and maybe this is... it seems like that's kind of one of the things here on the KJ Show is about, like, how social media sucks and how it perpetrates itself. Is if this was an email, right, you could trace the IP address, you can go back to where it came from and so forth, there would be a level of accountability. I think for me, and maybe I would say this to all sports teams, take your players off of social media. Do not make it anything mandatory. Like, if you want to put yourself out there, we're not going to protect you. If you feel like you got to do it for your brand and everything, that's on you. But if you're saying, hey, because we want you to stay in contact with the fans, I don't know if you've seen how Twitter's really rolled out recently, but let me just tell you, there are a lot less hugs on there than there have ever been before. So gone are the days of, hey, if Ashton Kutcher wants to tweet out to his friends, they'll know what the celebrity's doing. Well, that didn't work. You got a bunch of a-hole yahoos doing their thing. And again, keep in mind, if you're like, hey, man, that just was not the performance today, I think players can take that. But I think when you get into this...
there's a difference between being critical and being vile. There's just a difference.
And at some point, it's the reason why I care less. I mean, it's not like that I have this footprint, but that feed people come after me, you're a DEI hire. I'm like, no, actually, it's because I used to be a sex worker. That's why I got hired. So, like, no. So I'm joking when I say that, but the point being is people feel like they can say anything about your life and the people, more so about the people in it that have nothing to do with what you're going on. It's a fascinating article. It's at weei.com. I'm up against it because Dan Ball's coming up at 10, and I really would hate for him to show to start at 10:02. So, Tommy Freeze Pops, thank you so much for joining the KJ Show on a Sunday morning. Appreciate the great work you do and continued success, my man.
Absolutely, man. Great checking in with you. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Tom Carroll, check out his article about the Liam Hendricks response on social media. You hear me talk about it all the time. Is, you know, there just needs to be a game show created. Like, say it to my face. Like, you know, poll person, all these tweets they put out, bring them on stage under false pretenses. I'll kind of Jenny Jones them. Okay, that's wrong. Maybe not so. And then have them say it to their face. And then what they don't know is somewhere in that waiver, like if they get knocked, their teeth get knocked out. Hey, it's just par for the course. Yeah, it's getting out of hand. I really would want players to be a little more protected, especially a player and their family. All right, coming up next, barbecue or mildew, and a salute to Memorial Day. That's next on the KJ Show here on WEEI.
Now, more of the KJ Show with KJ Carson on WEEI.
Yeah, the KJ Show, WEEI. I thank you, and I'm so grateful for you being here on a Sunday. I mean, this is usually time people like sneak out of bungalows on the Cape or
out of Winthrop and Airbnbs.
Other things you could be doing, but you choose to be here. And so for that, I say thank you. And of course, happy Memorial Day. And I don't want to use the word happy, but it's just, I'm from a generation of seeing like some of my friends and their parents come back from Vietnam, right? And a lot of these guys are in their 70s, those who have been able to live. And even though Memorial Day is about remembering those who gave their life for this country, don't forget about those who've kind of been dying inside ever since they've gotten back. The term PTSD, which sometimes gets loosely used, wasn't really readily accepted until after the Vietnam War. And then I knew some kids that went over to Desert Storm and the different things they've gone through. So while we do remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, please, please do not forget those who are still trying to figure out navigation through life because of what they've seen in the fogs of war. All right, text message. We'll get to a couple of them, and then we'll barbecue a mildew. I wanted to make sure that I got my recognition of Memorial Day before talking about cooking out, because some people get pissed off. How can you talk about cookouts? But handle the business first, do the fun later, okay? Before we get to barbecue a mildew, let's get to your text messages. What you got, Brian?
I got a text message from someone who's clearly not been happy with Alex Cora's recent management style. He said Alex Cora should go to more college graduations.
I mean, well, so here's the thing with Cora. Devers really put him in a bad spot. And then if you remember the whole Bregman situation, I mean, that was the longest free agent acquisition I had ever seen. It was like 3 weeks. But remember, the story was at the time that Cora was high on getting Bregman here. Remember, they were together in Houston, and that maybe the people upstairs above Cora, they weren't so excited about it. So now you get the guy you want because you know you need leadership in there. The person who probably should be the leader, the one, I don't know, still left from winning a championship, doesn't want to be the leader and is not really a compliant guy. So there are a lot of things in front of. Again, if you missed any of the show, the Odyssey app is free. You can rewind the show. I do believe there is a good probability that Alex Cora is not going to be the manager of this team by the end of the year, especially if this team continues to spiral below 500. One more text, and then we'll get to barbecue or mildew.
All right, we haven't got a lot of NBA talk, obviously, with the Celtics.
Well, you know why?
Out.
Because who wants to talk about a potential boring-ass Indiana-Oklahoma City NBA Finals? Literally, Nielsen will come out and say 15 people watch the game. Like, I mean, like, where are the populations? Indianapolis, was that market like 40? And Oklahoma City is like 52. Look, I don't want to market shame because there'll be a sad death march in Boston when suddenly Miami gets 500,000 more people and Boston becomes 11. Ah, so much for your bragging. No, but look, the NBA, look, I think we're all pulling for Indiana here. There's no question about that. But there's a part of the NBA is like, please, if we can just get New York and Minnesota and have some semblance of audience watching this. This is like when Tampa was in the World Series a few years ago. Was it Tampa and San Diego? I forgot who it was.
Dodgers, I believe.
Yeah, Tampa and the Dodgers. And they were like, oh my God, Tampa's really stinking that up. That's what would happen in the NBA. What you got for an NBA text?
Well, somebody clearly watched the Timberwolves Thunder game last night. It was a blowout in favor of Minnesota. Saying it was 508 text saying, can't believe how many 40-point losses in the playoffs from good teams there's been this year. Feel That's like I've never saw this before.
Compelling television. Look, there was a part of me that was like, okay, I got to watch this game. And then go to bed just in case I got to talk about it tomorrow. When I turn on the game, they were up by 30. I was just like, oh, clearly I'm about to have some sexy time with the wife and then go to sleep versus watching this game and going to sleep because clearly that will be, okay, I don't
pretty
need to see.
Pretty good trade-off for you, I think.
Well, there you go. But plus, you know, families have been injected throughout the show and so forth and everything like that. So I just threw that in there. I don't want to lie on my wife. I just snored and went to sleep. Actually, I didn't snore. Because I had my mouthpiece on, which I will not tell what the name of the mouthpiece is, but it works wonders. All right. We're going to take some Boston figures, and we're going to either barbecue them, or if you don't barbecue, you mildew, buddy. Hit it.
If you are preparing a barbecue soon,
doo-doo.
Don't be afraid of it.
I'm going to barbecue your ass.
Let's keep it on the barbecue.
Barbecue.
Mildew. Okay. Mildew.
All right, we're going to either barbecue them or mildew them. Go.
All right, first name for you, Don Sweeney, Bruins general manager who just re-upped for another 2 years.
But sneakily, that's some mildew. Here's why. They are setting him up for the fail. Give him the extension, and here's what we know in the entertainment industry.
Mildew.
Extension is only as good as 1 year before when it's over. Because if they don't have to pick it up, they're not going to pick it up. Don Sweeney really is a man that's got maybe a season to get it right or he's gone and they'll pick up the rest of it. I think it's, what, 2 years? Right? So if it's 2 years, then really you think about what happens in year one and then we're like, well, we can just eat the cost the next year and get a cheap guy in here to do it. Next.
All right. The next one is Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla.
I'm going to barbecue just because, hey, look, you 2 years, you've got barbecue. A NBA championship. Yeah, you lose in the second round, but you lost your star. You do need to make some adjustments. If those adjustments aren't made, this is going to be a real test of Joe Mazzulla next year, is this team. Let's do two more before we cross-talk with Dan Ball.
All right, Celtics big man, Kristaps Porzingis.
Shoot, mildew, and I've got a scraper ready for it.
Mildew.
Here, yeah, can I get another mildew right there?
Mildew.
I know, look, we were ready to buy this guy drinks for life last year at this time, but hey, this is a what have you done for me lately life we're in. Look, you're disappearing from games. You know that you've got 1 year left on your deal, and now you're getting to a point like if the Celtics wanted to trade him for assets, it almost feels like it's just above like trying to trade Trevor Story, like because you know you're going to be getting damaged goods. And who's going to make that call unless a team is looking to dump salary? And would you really be getting back what you've got in work? All right, one more.
All right, how about a name we haven't gotten to yet today? Patriots rookie offensive tackle, or potentially guard, depending on how OTAs and training camp goes, Will Campbell.
I'm going to say barbecue. I watched that first episode of Forged in Foxborough. And, of course, you had your typical Donnie from Stoughton standing up there. You want of ours now. It's like, oh, Donnie, please, just let the guy just go eat his lunch. But as the season develops, I'm going to start following that and discussing that as well. But Will Campbell, I'm going to say barbecue. There you go. That's barbecue or mildew. So two barbecues, two mildews. Remember, do your chicken a little later. Do the burgers first. Get the grill heated up nice and hot. Then barbecue. Do your chicken. Yeah, there you go. All right. Dan Ball, coming up at 10. Dan, here's the funny thing. We've joked about, like, the middle relief for the Red Sox. and now all they're doing is working overtime. Is that what they're doing to you and Stiz in the afternoon? That's all I need to know.
Yes, of course, of course.
Are you getting hazard pay?
It's the two, and I got to throw Brian in there as well. He does He does Twitch in our social media, so we very much feel like the Red Sox middle relief. They get through whatever the radio equivalent of four innings is on the afternoon show, and then all right, the boys can handle the rest of it. So 100%.
Lucky for the Red Sox bullpen, they don't have to work with Andy Tenfitzie.
Well, that's right.
The other part of it is, have you developed a growth chart for Andy in the studio? Like, have you put like little markers on the door that, you know, like when you're five and then when you're 10, and put one of those for Andy. And then for Fitzy, have you developed a Cliff Notes book yet for the jokes that go for 5 minutes with a 2 second punchline? Have you developed that yet?
Yeah, we are. I am the de facto stats and information department on the afternoon show.
Did I just give you guys a feature, and now time for the Fitzy Cliff Notes?
Yes.
Of what he just, did I just give the afternoon show a feature here?
These are, yeah, we're helping Fitzy work out his tight five for his next stand-up set. So.
Remind him it's tight 5 seconds, not 5 minutes. Dan, have a great show. He's also going to take you up until Red Sox review as well, and of course the fourth game and the final game against Baltimore here. Dan, have a great show. Thank you so much
for
the work you put in, and thanks for putting up, for listening to what might either be the best show in America at that time on a Sunday morning, or the worst show in America that it's on at that time in Sunday morning. So thank you so much for listening to the KJ Show. Remember, at KJ Carson at Twitter. Be careful, I will talk about your mama. And of course, KJ at WEEI. Have a great Sunday. Thank you again, Brian, for your tremendous work. See ya!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.